Exodus chapter 20. Keep Brother Jess in prayer as well with the heart surgery coming up. Preparations for that. Pray that God would keep him from getting sick, so that at least on his part. And I didn't hear any more about this strike you'd mentioned. There's a strike at the hospital by some nurses or something. It is settled. All right. Praise the Lord. So all is good so far. Exodus chapter 20. That's where we want to go. We're looking at verse number 13. Verse number 13. Let's go there. All right. This is a difficult one to remember, but I'm going to ask if we read it together. Verse number 13. Ready? Let's begin. Thou shalt not kill. All right. There it is. That's good. Good job. We looked at this, started last week as we've been going through our study, Christian Living and the Ten Commandments. How can we implement, how does God want us, according to the Bible, to implement those commands today? And the one that kind of glaringly stands out is the command about the keeping the Sabbath, but we saw in our study that really involved dedicating our life and the things in our life to Him. The Bible says, remember the Sabbath to keep it what? Holy, separated, dedicated to God. So we looked at the right priority in verse 3. We looked at the right worship, verses 4 through 6, only worshiping the Lord. The right language there in verse number 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The right remembrance of the holy, that's where the Bible says, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. And then we saw verse number 12, the right family relation. In verse 12, it says, honor thy father and thy mother, and thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now we're in verse 13, looking at the right respect for others. We saw last week that discussing kill in this verse, thou shalt not kill, is that willful, violent taking of life. It's willful. It's desire to have. Let me read what we shared last week so that I don't say something that I didn't say or we didn't look at. Literally means to kill wickedly, or tear apart. It is an ultimate expression of a disrespectful heart. We saw that in Matthew 5, Jesus speaking about that. We saw that what killing is not. It is not all killing is murder. God's stand on capital punishment is where we looked at last week before the flood. Not everyone who did killing received capital punishment. Who's the glaring example that we saw in the Bible that fit that? Cain. Yeah, I mean, it was obvious. In fact, God was the judge on that one. He was the one who said, Cain, I know you've done this, but he did not take his life. He basically said, you are a refugee from now on. You're not going to be part of a community any longer. And actually, anyone that would try to interfere with his life, God says, I'll take care of him. In fact, interesting the way he dealt with Cain. Following the flood, capital punishment was instituted, Genesis 9, where he talks about if a man takes another man's life, then his life will be taken as well. As we looked in through Scripture and Deuteronomy and Romans and other parts of Scripture, that God authorized government to carry out capital punishment. It's not a matter of the Hatfields and McCoys. It is an established government that is authorized by God to do that. A punishment for, here's some of the things that were mentioned in Exodus, killing the unborn, seducing to worship false gods, and we'll look at a couple others even tonight, but that was in Exodus 21 and Deuteronomy. We saw that capital punishment is, of course, justice for sin, for to do right, but it is also a deterrent against all crime. All crime, this is where it could end up if I don't stop right now. That is the idea. Capital punishment is not murder in God's sight. Exodus 22, here's where we're going to go. Let's go to Exodus chapter 22. We'll at least get started on this part of it. And take a look, verses 1 through 3. I'm going to read them for us, and then we'll look at some comments after prayer. The Bible says, if a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. If the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him, for he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. Tonight we're looking at God's stand on self-defense. Self-defense. And what does the Bible say about that? I think some interesting things. We're only going to get to a couple of them tonight. But let's take a look at that and see. Not everybody's going to, you know, stand at their door guarding with all kinds of weaponry and stuff. But what can we do? What does God authorize the Christian to do, as well as anybody in that area of self-defense? Is it murder? If we do it, well, let's find out. Before we do, let's pray. We'll ask God to help us. Lord, we thank you and we love you. And we pray, Father, that though we want to be prepared, we ask that none of us have to go through seeing another individual die simply because they attacked us. But yet, Lord, we pray for your help even tonight to understand this issue better so that we can live for you better and help others. We thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Self-defense. Number one here, God exhorts us to help an enemy who's in distress. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 25. We'll take a look at that. Proverbs chapter 25. Let's go there, please. Proverbs 25 and verse number 21. Proverbs 25, we're going to look at verse 21 and verse 22. And let's read that together, shall we? Those two verses, verse 21, 22, we're in Proverbs 25, near the end of the book. Let's go and read them together. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. If he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. Here the Bible tells us very clearly that if we have an enemy who's in distress, if he's hungry, what does that mean? He's starving. You know, it's not a matter of, well, he just skipped a meal or two. He's starving. And if he's thirsty, give him water to drink. That is the idea. And God exhorts us to be a help to our enemies when they're in distress. Let's take a look at this. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. Let's go there and see this this theme, this idea, this exhortation is continued in the New Testament. Romans chapter 12 is where we want to go. And take a look. We'll start at verse number 17. If somebody gets there, can read it out loud for us, that would be great. Who would do that? Verse 17.
Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men.
Okay, thank you. And then if you look down at verse 21, which goes along with it, he says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Even in the New Testament, and there's other verses we could look up tonight we're not going to get to, but the Bible is clear, we need to treat others with care, even if they don't care to treat us that way, and maybe even worse. God exhorts to help an enemy who's in distress. Now, that's not where it stops, though. Let's continue on. God does authorize the use of force on an intruder who, because he's trying to take your stuff, is also a what? We just talked about, he's an enemy. He's an enemy. But the intruder specifically is what Exodus here, chapter 22, let's go there, talks about verse number 2. Exodus chapter 22, we were there early. Here's what it says, verse 2. If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. God authorizes the use of force on an intruder. Here's a few thoughts on that. This is the Mosaic Law. We're reading through in Exodus. The Mosaic Law allows homeowners to defend their persons and property up to using deadly force. Now, if you ever taken a, how many have ever taken a self-defense class or something along that line? What do they tell you is the last resort? Pull the trigger. Last resort is take their life. You know, if they're still, your goal is to eliminate the threat. Whether that means just jumping on them and keep them from doing anything if you can, binding them so they can't hurt anybody, or worse, the idea is to stop the threat. Here is what Moses shares in Exodus. He says that the homeowner, can defend what they have up to using deadly force according to God's law. The Mosaic Law holds the thief, that's the blank on the next statement, holds the thief responsible for his own death, not the homeowner. It's his own fault for walking in on you and you had your .357 ready or whatever it was, and he died in the cause, in the purpose or an event of robbery. And it specifically talks about when the act is being done. Notice again verse number 2, if he be found breaking up, if he's found trying to steal or take or whatever it is, and he dies in the process, the homeowner is not responsible for his killing. Physical defense is not to be done out of vengeance. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Wait a minute, this guy took my brand new car. He's burned down my house. I just got done with that last, project on the house. And I think he deserves it. Well, what did Jesus say? Let's take a look. Matthew chapter 5. And again, we're not going to be able to finish. In fact, this might be where we stop. But Matthew 5, we're going to look at verse 38 to verse 45. And would you read responsively with me? I'll read verse 38, you 39. We'll stop at verse 45 in Matthew chapter 5. Here's what verse 38 says. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Okay, so we're looking at how God authorizes the use of force. We saw the Mosaic Law allows homeowners to defend to the death. Mosaic Law holds the thief responsible if he dies in the process. And number 3 here, physical self-defense is not to be done out of vengeance. Vengeance. According to God's word, who holds vengeance? Who's the one who can have vengeance and decide when that's supposed to be doled out? Only God is given that responsibility. Only God says, I'm authorized to do that. But does that mean we should let everybody walk all over us and take lives around us and so forth? Well, next week we're going to find out a little bit more as we consider more of the things God says is allowable, even in the Christian life today. By the way, I don't believe God wants us all to don, body armor and all that kind of stuff. We're not necessarily supposed to do that. But he says, here is what I allow, and here's where it's not considered murder before me if these cases happen. So let's stop there. Let's stop there and have a time of prayer. And we'll continue on next week looking at Is self-defense murder? Let's find out. Or if it is, what cases, you know? Find a partner or two. Gentlemen, we pray with gentlemen, ladies with ladies, or if you feel differently, that's okay. But God desires us to pray, so let's find a partner and pray tonight.